Damon, you came to prominence in the UK with The Good Doctor back in 2003. And since then, most of your work seems to have been concerned with anatomising the new South Africa. But this is slightly different, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, some people might say more than slightly. I think I reached a point where I actually wanted to look at things that were not connected to South Africa. It's very easy to get South Africa fatigue when you're, you know, continually focused on and talking about politics, history, and, you know, the kind of set of questions that one usually gets into when you're dealing with that particular country.
And it's called In a Strange Room. It could actually be called Figures in a Landscape or something, couldn't it?
Yeah, the title in fact comes from a William Faulkner quote from As I Lay Dying. I chose it for a couple of reasons, the main one being that it really conjures what's at the heart of the book, which is being away from home, somewhere strange, and the book's dealing with that experience, I mean, in one way or another.
And it consists of three, you could say, almost like novellas with a single central character, although in a way he's not even a single central character, because there's the him who's living the experience and there's an I who is the person who recalls him living the experience. Tell us a little bit about this structure. He is called Damon. Is that you?
Yeah. Basically, the project that I set myself with this book was quite simple. It was to recall as honestly and truthfully as I could three journeys that I've taken at different points in my life. They've all been very important journeys. Each of these journeys was made with one other person, and I wanted to tell the story not only of the journey itself, the details of the travel, in other words, but to give an account of how my relationship with the other person changed through the arc of the journey. Now, very soon after I sat down to write, it became clear to me that these stories had a deeper subject, and that was memory. In other words, it wasn't only the journey or the relationship that I was recounting, but it was the way I remembered it. And I wanted to convey something of the quality of how memory works in the way I wrote it. Now, I've done that in a number of ways, but the most obvious one, noticeable one, is the one you've picked up on, which is the shift in the point of view.
So, for example, you have a sentence which goes, "Happy and unhappy, he falls asleep in the end and dreams about, no, I don't remember his dreams."
Yes, quite. At places where memory fails me, I've tried to set that down too. At the points where, you know, there's a hole in memory, I've conveyed that.
So is this a novel?
Well, that's a good question. It's been published as a novel. It's been published as fiction. These pieces appeared first in the Paris Review, and they, at the time they were going to run them, said to me, well, what should we call them? I mean, is this a memoir? Is this a travelogue? Anyway, they took the decision to publish it as fiction, and I became very happy with that decision for the reason that memory is fiction. I came to this conclusion in the writing of the book. All memory is a way of reconstructing the past. If you actually consider it, the memory of any particular moment or set of moments consists of a whole lot of really disparate impressions and perceptions. There isn't really a narrative thread to memory. In other words, the color of the wall of this room, the temperature of the air, you know, the headache that I might be feeling at the moment are all part of the memory too. But when you actually sit down to reconstruct those impressions and perceptions into a coherent narrative, you have to pick out particular things and raise them to significance at the expense of other things which will fall by the wayside. Mm-hmm. So the act of narrating a memory is an act of creating a fiction, mm-hmm. and I wanted to convey that fact.
Let's go to the first of the stories, with The Follower. In this case, you meet up with a rather sinister German character.
Yeah.
And there's a sense of menace all the time, but the sense of menace doesn't actually come to anything that's very dangerous. And I thought that was very interesting, because it's as if the sense of menace, who has the sense of menace? Is the menace in the mind of the character who's living with this person, or is the menace in the mind of the narrator who's looking back on it many years later?
Whether the sense of menace is created in the remembering or whether I felt that all the time is sometimes hard to say. I mean, that's part of the reason I look on it as a fiction. It was my sense that the entire journey, because it took place in a remote landscape, we went hiking in the mountains of Lesotho, where if anything happened to you, you would not be found for days, if at all. Also, the nature of my connection with this particular man sat on the edge of, you know, potential danger all the time.
He's like almost a psychopath in some of his minor relationships with what he does.
Well, yeah, I guess you could see him that way. I mean, he may not be happy to be described in those terms, but he certainly was on his own path very much and wasn't very interested in accommodating other people's visions or views. He was a very difficult traveling companion to have. But the nature of that whole journey was defined by power. That's why it's called The Follower. You know, it's a relationship of power in which I think I was very much at the receiving end until I finally found a way to break out.
Now, the second story, The Lover, deals with desire in a very shifting landscape. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's an account of a journey I made. I even forget the year at this point. It's all a little blurry, but somewhere in the 90s, I think 95 or so, I went up to Zimbabwe to wander around for a bit, and I got in with a group of travelers that took me on to Malawi. And on the way, I fell in with another group of travelers. And our lives became very closely connected through a series of coincidences. We kept sort of parting and then meeting again in ways we hadn't planned to. Yeah, and it led to a prolonged moment of love in my life, which I think had, you know, hadn't been the case for quite a long time.
And then the third big theme is, it seemed to me, is responsibility. And indeed, the third story is called The Guardian.
Well, it tells the story of Damon accompanying his friend Anna to India. Anna's in a very bad way and actually in a far worse state than I could ever have realized at the time. And things went disastrously wrong in India. You know, the three stories are called The Follower, The Lover, and The Guardian. And guardianship is the theme of the third story. But in fact, I think these three relationships, power, love, and guardianship, are the three primary human relationships, the ones that any significant emotional connection you have with another human being is going to fall into one of these categories, or more than one.
Mm. And the theme of The Guardian actually seemed particularly pointed to me. I've just got back from Beirut across land through Europe. And it seemed to me that Europe is full of people taking care of each other who don't know each other.
Right.
And once you've made that responsibility, you're sort of stuck with them.
Yeah, I guess it's a door that when you've opened, it's very, you know, it's very hard to close it again. I mean, maybe easier to do with strangers who, you know, you don't know in any context. But if you're taking care of a friend or somebody you love, how do you ever give up that responsibility? I mean, some people find a way to do it, but I would find it impossible, I think. And I certainly was the only person in India there to look after Anna under the circumstances described, and couldn't walk away from that situation at all.
Mm. Now, the styles of these three are quite different in a way, aren't they? I mean, it struck me that the most horrible, in a way, story, the final story about this very sick friend of yours, is almost like a black comedy.
Well, again, you know, there's no creative invention at work. I was simply recounting the events that took place. So, yeah, I guess if you're looking at it from the outside, a lot of it is darkly comic, but, you know, in a fateful sort of way.
Having to get clothes in order for her to be decent to go in an ambulance to an intensive care unit, for example, because they won't carry her without decent clothes. Did that all happen?
Yes. Yeah, it did.
Is this a path that you're going to pursue in future, or will you go back to more conventional fiction?
You know, I feel this is territory I've covered, and I will probably go back to a more conventional form of fiction after this, but I might surprise myself. I have in the past.